Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day that we come together as your people to worship you. We rejoice in your presence, knowing that you love us, you care for us, and there's much that you have in store for our lives. We pray that you may be pleased to be in our midst, that you teach us how to draw near to you, that our hearts, our spirits may be ready to what you have to say to us. We commit this time to your hands. We pray that you will help us to have a clearer, deeper appreciation of the Lord Jesus and what he ought to mean to our lives. That there may be a deep response in our hearts to the truth you reveal to us in the scriptures. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 84th message. We are considering the Lord Jesus Christ, the 5th message. The topic for today, I am the way and the truth and the life, the 2nd message. I am the way and the truth and the life, the 2nd message. In the concluding remarks of the last message, I covered with you the interrelationship between Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. And I asked you to reflect, ponder, and consider the following. He is the way to truth, knowledge of the truth, and the life of truth. He is the way of truth. The way is truth. He is truth. He is the way to life, the way to eternal life, the way to a life of abundance and fruitfulness. He is the way of life. The way is life. He is the way. In him is life. He is the way of truth and life. The way of life is the way of truth. The way of truth is the way of life in Christ. After the last message, I was asked to explain and elaborate on the meaning of these words, and I will now proceed to do so. They involve the fundamental issues of life, but you require prayerful concentration to be able to receive well. He is the way to truth, knowledge of the truth, and the life of truth. Comment. If we want to know the way to truth, knowledge of the truth, and the life of truth, we have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will show us, teach us, and help us to understand, gain spiritual insight, and also to enter into these realities. He is the way of truth. The way is truth. He is truth. Comment. He himself is the way of truth. The way is a person, Christ. To know the way of truth and to walk in truth is to know Christ and to walk in him. That is, it's important beyond knowing truth as concepts and ideas. We must come to know him and to walk in him. Actually, both are related. We need to know the truth, but we must also come to know him. But ultimately, what is critical is to recognize that the way of truth is actually a person. He is truth, full of grace and truth. We become men of truth as Christ is formed in us. Amongst those who try to ponder over more deeply as to the ultimate realities of life, sometimes amongst the philosophers also, they try to grapple with these issues. What is ultimate reality? Is it forms, concepts, or what is it? In this regard, just make a brief remark here in our consideration that he is the way of truth. One way of looking at what is ultimate reality, we can say that there is ultimate reality in the sense of truth, but not as the philosophers in their ponderings come up with, but truth as revealed in the scriptures, and we can say ultimate truth that pertains to God's kingdom. There are ultimate realities, enduring truth. But it seems to me that there's another way to appreciate ultimate reality, ultimate truth, in a more meaningful sense, as we look at Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is truth. That ultimate reality, in terms of what God is trying to show to us in the scriptures, the enduring truth that pertains to his kingdom, is ultimately actually to help us to enter into various realities. And this we can see and appreciate in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, for example, we can appreciate what actually is the meaning of love. We can write about it. The scriptures talk about love. We can talk about kindness. We can talk about wisdom. But ultimately, truth, wisdom, love, and so on, what God intends for us is to appreciate this beyond the concepts of a wholesome understanding of what is truth, what is love, and so on, but to enter into truth, love, wisdom, kindness. And there's something for us to enter into, but the ultimate wisdom, goodness, kindness is actually in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we want to understand what is true love, what is kindness, we can describe about it, we can talk about it, but ultimately it's helpful to see it, that truth, kindness, wisdom, and so on, in our appreciation of this as exemplified in the reality of the person of Christ. And we are also to move in that direction. What is revealed in the scriptures for us, the many truths and principles, is in the end not just meant for us to seek to grapple with them, try to understand them, but to enter into these realities. Not only the Lord Jesus as our example, but also it is in him and through him. He is truth, full of grace and truth, and we become men of truth as we grow in our knowledge of him and as Christ is formed in us. I will carry on. He is the way to life. We want to know what is the way to life, the way to eternal life, the way to a life of abundance and fruitfulness. Comment. If we want to know the way to life, eternal life, and a life of abundance and fruitfulness, then come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he will show to us, and he will teach us, and he will help us to understand, to gain spiritual insight, and to enter into these realities. And we know that these are the issues that really matter to us. What is life really all about? The life of abundance and fruitfulness, the life that God intends for us. He is the way of life. The way is life. He is the way. In him is life. Comment. He is the way, or rather, he himself is the way of life. Well, he shows us, but ultimately we have to appreciate that he himself is the way of life, eternal life, and life of abundance and fruitfulness. So it's not just knowing about life and trying to enter into life, but to recognize that he himself is the way of life. The way is life. That is, as we walk in him who is the way of life, we will enter into and experience the abundant and fruitful life. He is the way, and the way is life. He himself is the way, and he is life. As we walk with him, as we walk in him who is the way, we will actually experience enter more and more into the abundant and fruitful life. In Him is life, eternal life, and life of abundance and fruitfulness. The way and the life is in a person, Christ. So it's not just making various efforts to try to experience, to enter more and more into a life of abundance and fruitfulness. It's helpful for us to see that yes, God does teach us and help us. There are many truths and principles to guide us. But we must see that all this is vitally linked to the person of Christ. In Him is life. The way and the life is in the person, Christ. So to understand, gain spiritual insight, and enter into these realities is to know Christ and to enter into the richness of life and the abundant life in Him. He is the way of truth and life. Comment. The way, the truth, and the life all converges in the person of Christ. The way of truth and the way of life is in a person, in Christ. And it is in Him we become men of truth and live the abundant life God intends for us. And we grow in spiritual maturity and stature. The way of truth and the way of life go together. They are one. They are integral realities of the one life in Christ. Christ is both the way of truth as well as the way of life. They converge. They coexist together. You cannot have one without the other. You want the life, but you're not prepared to walk in the way of truth. You cannot. The way of truth and the way of life, they go together. They are one, integral realities of the one life in Christ. The way of life is the way of truth. If we want to enter into and experience the life of abundance and fruitfulness, we must know the truth, walk in truth, and be men of truth. This is how we enter into life in all its richness. The way of truth is the way of life. We need to more and more learn to walk in the way of truth. But it is as we walk in the way of truth, we will experience increasingly the measure of life. So as we grow in our knowledge of the truth and walk in it, we will experience in increasing measure the life of the Lord, and the life of richness and abundance. They are two sides of the same coin, or you can say they go together, they complement one another. Both make up the one whole. And all this takes place in Christ. All these realities take place in Him, who is the way, the truth, and the life. It's helpful for us to recognize Christ is the way and the truth and the life. These words of the Lord Jesus, this revelation, the scriptures, involve the fundamental issues of life and the Christian faith. It's something that every man would want to know, should want to know, and to experience. And if we do, we will enter into what really counts in life. Ponder over these various aspects that we have been considering. The way. The way includes the way to reconciliation with God and forgiveness of sins and the beginning of the new life in Christ. The way we ought to live. The way to a life of abundance and fruitfulness and fulfillment. The way to the fulfillment of God's purposes. The way to heaven. All these are critical issues of life. Likewise, the truth, the meaning and beauty of truth. This is what we want to know. And how can we know the truth? The revelation of God, the mysteries of God's kingdom, the way of truth, how we can become men of truth, and how the truth can make us free. The life, the true meaning and purpose in life, the life God intends for us, eternal life, a life of deep fellowship with God, life in all its fullness and richness, spiritual beauty and stature, a life of power, a life that is continually spiritually nourished, strengthened and refreshed. And Christ is the way and the truth and the life. So it's very helpful if you are able to have a deeper appreciation of these major issues of life and how to enter into these realities. And now I wish to crystallize some important aspects of the meaning and implications of Christ is the way and the truth and the life. First of all, I need to be impressed that it is vital for all of us to know the way and the truth and the life. And there are two critical aspects. One is the understanding, knowledge and spiritual insight of the way, the truth and the life. So this is the first critical aspect, to understanding, knowledge and spiritual insight. This is one area. And the next critical aspect is then to enter into these realities as God intends for us, in increasing depth and richness of meaning and reality. So not just to say I've experienced, but in increasing depth and richness. So the understanding and the entering to these realities is what I've elaborated just now on the way, the truth and the life, the various aspects. And to recognize that Christ is God's provision for us, that we may enter both of these aspects. One, Christ shows us, teaches us, and helps us understand and gain spiritual insight of the way, the truth, and the life. Two, He is also the one who enables us, and it is in Him and through Him that we enter into these realities in increasing depth of richness and meaning. We in Him and He in us. So there are important implications for our approach to a life of meaning and fruitfulness as God intends for us. We all long to enter into the kind of life God desires for us. How do we enter into it? I've mentioned in the preceding message, that one way of looking at it is to concentrate on two aspects. A is growing in understanding, knowledge, and spiritual insight. And B is the appropriate positive response that we will enter into the realities that God intends for us. We can say that if these two, we concentrate on these two, all will be well with us. We need to know, and then there needs to be the appropriate positive response, and this will then result in increasing realities that we will enter into an experience of what God desires. Now let us link this to Christ, the role of Christ, our relationship with Christ, and how to respond to Him. Because if we just look at it from the angle of growing understanding and the appropriate response, we will be just concentrating on truths and principles as concepts and ideas. There is an angle of that which is correct. But the scriptures reveals to us that beyond just trying to understand principles of truth, we need to understand that Christ is the truth, the way, the life. So what does it mean then? As we recognize the central role of Christ in our lives, it helps us then to see that we need to approach it in this way, to link that to this, and that is, one, we concentrate on learning from the Lord. who can and will show us the way, the truth, and the life. It's not just trying to grapple with issues alone. We must also concentrate together with that, our seeking to learn from the Lord. Not only that, the second aspect, too, is to concentrate on deepening our knowledge of Christ, the quality of our relationship with Him, and the freedom for Him to work in us and through us. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we'll link that with what I've covered in the first part of today's message, as well as the last message. You will see how all these aspects tie in together. So I do not want to diminish the importance of knowing the truth. That is critical. But it's important for us to recognize that the scriptural revelation of knowledge of the truth, insight of the truth, in a way that really helps us to enter into what God desires of us, is linked to the person of Christ, that these truths can be alive. Our learning from Him, as well as our entering into the quality of relationship with the living Christ, linked to our knowledge of Him, and the freedom for Him to teach us, to work in us, to work through us. And this ought to be a continuing, lifelong process, concentrating in all situations, at all times, whether we are personal time with the Lord, our daily lives, when we gather together as God's people, in all situations that we go through, a lifelong process, our concentrating on seeking to learn from the Lord, to deepen our relationship with Him, and the freedom for Him to speak to us, to teach us, to work in us, to work through us. And together with that, it's not just concentrating on a relationship, but that relationship goes together with a consciousness that we need to understand in increasing measure the truths and principles. But these truths and principles are very much linked to the person of Christ. We need to see all these together. They form one organic truth and reality. They go together. We cannot say, I want to grow in my knowledge of Christ. Yes, that's very important. But then we are not interested in seeking to understand the truth that God has revealed in the scriptures. Neither should we just concentrate on grappling with truths and issues, but we are not paying sufficient attention to the relationship of truths and principles with Christ, and our relationship with Him, and our knowledge of Him, and our learning from Him. I want to conclude today's message with some key phrases and passages in the scriptures that reflects this way of life and help us remember how we should live our lives. Verse, for to me to live is Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Personally, I see that this is a very rich expression that can be appreciated in different ways. And it can take quite some time to fully appreciate these words of the Apostle Paul. But I do not intend to take very much time, but just want to link this together with what we have been considering so far on Christ, the words of the Lord Jesus, I am the way and the truth and the life, and what we have been reflecting on the truths and implications for our lives. How then should we respond? For to me to live is Christ. This is the testimony of the Apostle Paul. He's trying to communicate to us how he lives, his approach to life, what he concentrates upon. We can say our whole life ought to be bound up with the person of Christ. For to me to live is Christ. That's at the very center of his life. Concentrate on him, come to Him from many different angles. One is we come to Him, for to me to live is Christ, the need for spiritual life, spiritual nourishment, strengthening, refreshment, for guidance. In all this, constantly we are concentrating on Lord Jesus, coming to Him, to receive from Him guidance, spiritual nourishment, strengthening, spiritual life. The other is to go through all situations in fellowship with Him. For to me to live is Christ. At every moment as He lives, the consciousness of Christ and going through with Him. That He has the freedom to speak to us, to teach us, to work in us, to work through us. Another aspect that we can appreciate is at all times, at the center of our lives, our seeking to exalt Him and to proclaim Him. For to me, to live is Christ. That's what we are concerned about Him. And if you look at the context of Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, the preceding verse, verse 20. With all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And then he immediately follows by, for to me to live is Christ. So the for to me to live is Christ, a major aspect of it is the concentration of our lives. Not concentrating on what others have to say about us, how we project ourselves in various situations, in no way wanting to project ourselves, to exalt ourselves, but to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean we do not care about how we conduct ourselves in the way others view us, but it's only to the degree that they can be helpful in communication, in edification, and also ultimately that Christ may be exalted. Because He does want us to live effectively. And when we live effectively, we exalt Him. But the ultimate desire is not to exalt ourselves, to draw attention to ourselves, but to exalt Him and to proclaim Him. And the whole proclamation of Christ begins with helping others to come to know Him, that they may become God's children, salvation in Christ, but also continuing to proclaim Him in the sense of seeking to communicate Him, even to those who already know Him, that there may be continuing growth in Him. For to me, to live is Christ. At all times, the consciousness to cooperate with the Lord, concentration on His will, that He may have the freedom to work in us and the freedom to work through us. The next passage, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The key words, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Therefore, we can link this to the preceding chapter, chapter 11, of so many who have gone before us, how they lived their lives, what we can learn from them, how then should we live. We can also look at it from the angle. This is Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, in the light of all that the writer of the Hebrews has been talking about, and then in the light of the example of those who have gone before us, how they have responded to the truth, how then should we live our lives? At the heart of it, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. We can look at this it in this way. As we live our lives on earth, there will be spiritual opposition and many difficulties. None of us will be exempt from this. So let us not be surprised, as the Apostle Peter tells us. As if something strange is happening to you. If you do experience intense pain, significant difficulties, don't be surprised. All who love the Lord, living in this fallen world, in the midst of spiritual warfare, in the context of the weakness of the flesh, there will be significant difficulties. But the words of the writer of the Hebrews in these two verses are very helpful. In the midst of the difficulties, the writer of the Hebrews tells us we need to lay aside every encumbrance and run the race with perseverance. Don't let things encumber us. Lay aside whatever hinders us, all encumbrances, and then we must run this race with endurance. How? At the heart of it, as we run this race with endurance, we fix our eyes on the risen Christ. Fix our eyes on Jesus is not Christ in the tomb. It's not even the earthly Christ. But it is fixing our eyes on the risen Christ. Because the verse goes on to tell us, yes, the example of how he went through the cross, he endured the cross, despising the shame, but not only that, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That is where he is now. So as we fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus, we are fixing our eyes on the risen Christ, the triumph over the forces of darkness, the triumphant Christ, and the recognition that we are in him and he in us. And fixing our eyes on Jesus as we run this race also includes this idea of him as our example. He's our perfect example. How did he live his life? Our example and our guide. Fixing our eyes on the risen Christ seated at the right hand of God, knowing our proper place. As his disciples, he is our Lord, he is our Master, he is our God. We must submit to him. That's how we run this race. He is the head of the body, the church. We are not running on our own. We are running together with other brethren. As we seek to help one another, encourage one another, fulfill our respective roles as members of the body, and together we run, submitting to the head of the body, the church. As we run this race with perseverance, as we fix our eyes on him, we also know that he is our strength and our confidence. And not only know in the sense of recognition in our minds, but this fixing our eyes on the risen Christ is meant to be a spiritual response. There's a spiritual reality. And when we fix our eyes on Jesus the way we run, there is this spiritual relationship with him. The proper way to run, fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus, will be in the context of the reality of John chapter 15. Whereby we will be continually drawing strength and life from him. Knowing that we are in him. And he is the Almighty God. Then we need not be discouraged. We need not be deterred. Whatever the difficulties. And we know that as we live in this way, we will continue to grow in maturity and quality of faith. And this is what the writer to Hebrews in this verse tells us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. We begin our race with the Lord Jesus at the point of conversion. But not only that, he's the one who continues to help us to grow unto maturity. The author and perfecter of faith. Grow in maturity and the quality of our faith as we continue to run this race, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Bear in mind, the fixing our eyes on Jesus is not only when we encounter special difficulties. It's not once a month, once a week, or once a day. The fixing our eyes on Jesus is meant to be a continuing thing. Continually, as we run this race, and some of the younger ones may wonder, if you want to run a race, then we want to look at the Lord Jesus, then will we run and not know where we are running and hit something? No. As we run this race, it is not with the physical eyes. The fixing our eyes here is the spiritual. Our spiritual eyes, the spiritual consciousness of who is Christ, and our looking to Him as example, our guide, and the spiritual relationship we have with Him and what He means to us. And in fact, that's the way that we truly see. Then we can see life and how to look at life in all its clarity. And that's how we can run this race and not get lost and not hit into the wall. We'll see it in all its clarity. That's how we should run this race continually. Fixing our eyes on Jesus is the eyes of our heart. And another pictorial representation that encompasses important aspects of this area of truth and how we should live our lives and our recognition of Christ is the way and the truth and the life. It comes from the teaching of Christ Himself on who He is and our relationship with Him. It's a passage and an area of truth I've referred to from time to time over the years. Christ is the true vine and we are the branches. In our consideration of the role of Christ in the fulfillment of God's purposes, we can also say that this is a key passage. John chapter 15, in particular, John chapter 15, verse 1 and verses 4 to 6. John chapter 15. Verse 1, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 2, He tells us, if we do not bear fruit, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He, that is the Father, will take away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So the Lord Jesus Himself tells us that He is the true vine. He is the true vine in Him, in whom we must abide, just as the branches must abide in the vine. He is the source of our spiritual life and nourishment, with whom we must maintain a lively, living relationship. If we fail to abide in Him, then we'll be spiritually dried up. That's what He tells us in verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. The branch must abide in the vine. And as the branch abides in the vine, you will continue to draw life from the vine. Abiding in Him and He in us, this would result in not only our lives having richness in meaning, growing, but also fruitful service, bearing much fruit. The much fruit there has this aspect of our own personal growth and development, the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives, but the other is fruitful service, bearing good fruit, the positive impact of our lives on others. We know the Lord Jesus wants us to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. How can this become a reality? Many of God's children all over the world have been trying very hard to serve the Lord, to witness for Him. But much service have, over the years, been associated with many problems in terms of the quality of fruit, as well as the one seeking to serve, experiencing significant difficulties often beyond what they can cope, and a very major reason why it has not turned out well, even though the intention is to bear good fruit and to serve the Lord, is because of the failure to abide by what the Lord Jesus, to live by what the Lord Jesus reveals to us here in John chapter 15. There isn't the adequate concentration on the branch abiding in the vine, abiding in him and he in us, that then results in the fruit bearing. It's only as we concentrate on our relationship with the Lord Jesus, learning from him, growing in him, that he has the freedom, he has the freedom to work in us, and then he working through us. But otherwise, even attempts to serve the Lord, many things we want to do for him, it'll be what the scriptures term as service in the flesh. Or there can be some degree of the Lord's enabling as we ask the Lord to help us. But because we have not been growing well in the Lord, then there isn't the spiritual maturity, strength from which can flow forth fruitful service and the bearing of good fruit on a continuing basis. Finally, one more verse that I want to draw attention to. If we ask ourselves, what is it that should consume our lives? And what should we seek to communicate to others in this area of service? What should we seek to communicate to others? There will be many, many things we think are important that we should communicate to others. But what does the Apostle Paul tell us? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Again, like the other verses, I have another context. Spend time to elaborate on the meaning of this verse and why Paul says this. But here are just some brief comments, and we can hold all these various aspects together. It can help us have a clearer sense of direction in life, how we should go about our lives and why. And all this linked to what we've been considering of the Lord Jesus and his words, I am the way and the truth and the life. We may think there are so many things to talk about, so many things we want to communicate to others to help them to understand. But Paul says, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This can be appreciated from two angles. Why is it Paul says that's all he wants to communicate to others? Christ and him crucified. What about so many other things? One way of looking at this, you can see Paul is talking about emphasis. Yes, there are many other things that we can talk about that can be helpful. But the one thing that he is deeply concerned about, that's most important, is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it that's related is to really communicate the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. There's a lot to it. There are many, many aspects to knowing Christ and also the meaning of the cross and its implications and how then we should live. We also know that Christ and him crucified is at the very heart of the fulfillment of God's purposes. So knowing Christ and communicating Christ and him crucified encompasses all the various major aspects of what is in God's heart and how we should live. It is also helpful, this verse, a reminder to us that in our lives, as well as ultimately what we seek to communicate to others, if in the end we do not grow in our knowledge of Christ and the meaning of the cross. If we do not help others to grow in their knowledge of Christ and the implications of the cross, then we have failed to communicate or to learn for ourselves what is of utmost importance or what is most important. This verse helps to remind us of what I've been trying to communicate in today's message. A very major aspect of it, of today's message, is this: that we do not merely seek to communicate truths and concepts, though there's a place for that, but ultimately we seek to communicate Christ. First of all, that non-believers may come to know Him. The other is for believers, that believers may experience the new life in Christ in increasing measure. They may grow in the knowledge of Christ and the implications for their lives, and likewise for our own lives. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, can be appreciated from the angle of Paul wanting to communicate, what Paul wants to communicate to others. But I see it's also possible to appreciate from this angle. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, in the sense of not only Paul communicating, but also knowing together with other believers. I determined to know nothing among you. Paul is included. So we can say not only our communicating to others, but also ourselves included. I determined to know nothing. Paul is also deeply concerned. But this is not just in this verse, for example, in Philippians chapter 3, that I may know Him in increasing measure. So it can also include that, and actually that is a vital aspect. We need to know Him first for our own lives, then we can communicate to others. But this, I determine to know nothing among you in our own lives. We can also say that as we come together, as we relate with other believers, we also want to grow in our own knowledge. We can also learn from others. Not just what we communicate to others, but what we can know. Together we know. What is it we are concerned about? I determined is something we set our hearts upon. Not something trivial, casual. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. May we all concentrate on learning, growing together, increasing knowledge of Christ and Him crucified. Now just some brief remarks on these words: Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And it's helpful for us to ponder on these two aspects. Paul here did not merely say Jesus Christ, neither did he merely say Him crucified. But Him crucified is critical. Why Paul says Him crucified? Because Him crucified has to do with the cross. And the death of Christ is a very crucial event. What was accomplished at the cross and the implications for our lives is very, very central to the Christian faith and critical for us to know, not just in terms of appreciation of what happens, but also its implications. But Paul did here in this verse did not only say Him crucified, but also Jesus Christ. And it's helpful for us to bear both aspects in mind. Because Him crucified is talking about the cross, is death. But Jesus Christ is not death. Jesus Christ is not just Christ crucified, it's not the cross. Jesus Christ is the risen Christ, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Christ seated with God the Father in glory. It's the risen Christ. Who is he? What does it mean to our lives? And this we've seen in the earlier messages, at the very heart of God's provision for us, at the very heart of the mystery, the hope of glory. How can we attain, move in the direction of the glory and the glorious life that God intends for us, and the glory in relation to the fulfillment of God's purposes, is Christ in you. And this Christ in you is the risen Christ, not Christ crucified. So the risen Christ our daily relationship with Him, what He means to us, He in us and we in Him, together with Christ crucified, the cross and its implications. We'll stop here for today. As we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, we know it's a time to reflect on the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross, and what Christ means to us. Let us, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, reflect on the key issues, the truths that can come through to us in the words of the Lord Jesus, "I am the way and the truth and the life." What do these words mean? What are the implications for our lives? And some of these key phrases and passages in the scriptures that we've been considering at the end of today's message, the concluding section, and our brief reflections on these key issues, that they may also help us to know how we should respond to this whole area of truth. For to me, to live is Christ. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Christ, the true vine, and we, the branches, to abide in Him and He in us. For I determine to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let us reflect over our lives. Have we been concentrating on the right things, both for our personal lives, our working out together as members of the body, and also as we relate to other people at all times, as we go through situations of life? Have we been going through life in the way we ought to, in the light of scriptural revelation? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for what you reveal to us in the scriptures. We know that there are many major truths and principles very important for our lives, but beyond the truths and principles, you want us to know you, to know the Lord Jesus, to know what you've done and provided for us in Him, what was accomplished at the cross, and the meaning of the risen Christ and what He ought to mean to our lives, every moment, every day. Father, we ask that you help us, that indeed we may grow in our understanding and identification with the words of the Apostle Paul when he uttered, "For to me to live is Christ." That we may also learn to run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. That we may appreciate the Lord Jesus as the true vine, and we, the branches, and our need to abide in Him and He in us, that we may produce much fruit. We pray that more and more these may not just be words and concepts to us, but that we may indeed gain spiritual insight, that the Spirit of God may grant light to our inner man, that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened, that we may understand what you desire to communicate to us through the scriptures, including the words of the Lord Jesus, "I am the way and the truth and the life," and how to respond appropriately as you desire of us. We pray that you help us in our personal lives and also together as your children as we seek to work out together in church life, that we may know how to respond deeply and enter into all that you desire for us. And we know that your intention is not merely that we experience the richness of life for ourselves and end there, but that it may flow forth and touch the lives of others, that many may be helped to enter the kingdom of God, many may grow in the knowledge of the Lord and of the truth. We pray that you help us to lay aside every encumbrance, that we will put away all that hinders our walk with you. We thank you for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine, that you prepare our hearts that we will not partake in an unworthy manner. We commit our lives afresh into your hands, in Jesus' name. Amen.